a 2p coin. Now imagine, boys and girls and grown-ups, imagine I had a load of these. So I lay this on the floor in the corner, and then I lay all the others. Eventually, I fill the whole space of the floor with 2p coins. With me so far? Then I decide I'm going to fill the car park, which I do. Then I'm going to fill the city of Swansea, which I do. Then I decide I'm going to fill the whole of mainland UK. Do you know what that means? Right. So I filled it all with 2p coins. There's a lot of coins, isn't it? But I got lots of coins left, so I lay another layer on top. And I keep doing that until it's about up to my top of my leg. That's a lot of coins, isn't it? In fact, it would be 1 and 17 knots. I did some sums. I was bored last week. I thought I'd do some sums one day. 1 and 17 knots. So that's 100,000,000,000,000 2p pieces. Okay? Mason, are you with me, boy? Good. Now imagine that one of the coins, before I put it down, I put a little felt pen mark on it. Right? And then you come along and I tell you that I'm going to blindfold you, and you got one chance, one shot to pick out of all the coins. You know how deep they are now? 100,000, million, million of them. You got one chance, blindfold, to find the coin. And if you do, I'll give you all the money I got. But if you don't, I'm going to take everything you own. Now, what do you say? Oh, I think I got a pretty good chance. What's the chance of finding one coin out of 100,000,000,000,000 coins blindfold? Now, well, somebody years ago, a mathematician, did some sums that if 8 of the prophecies, there were lots of prophecies about Jesus. I read one this morning in Zechariah 10 I hadn't seen before. You know, there's so many. If he did sums, if it was just 8 of them were to come true, it was the chance of 1 in 100,000,000,000,000 for 8 to come true. But apparently there are 332 of them, and they all came true. Now, what are the chances of that? Phenomenal, including being born in Bethlehem. But the thing is, why did he come? Well, he's a gift. He's a gift. Have you ever had a present you couldn't be bothered to open? Anybody? Have you? I was telling my grandchildren, or reminding them yesterday or the day before, the story I told them. I was invited to my friend's house on Christmas. Come up Christmas morning. This is way before I was a Christian. Come up Christmas morning, he said. So he went up early, and while I was there, his wife brought his present in. Without opening it, he threw it against the wall and saw. I remember thinking, am I glad I've come here? What a great Christmas this is going to be. Obviously, there's something wrong in the relationship here. Have you ever had a present you couldn't be bothered to open? Ever chucked a present in the bin without unwrapping it? Well, thing is, you have. Because until we become Christians, that's what we do all the time. We throw the gift in the bin. That's what we do. We just throw it away. Have you ever had a present you didn't particularly like? You have, haven't you? Now, in the next few weeks, now eBay and Gumtree and sites like that will have unwanted gifts. You know, somebody, if my wife had bought me like a brush and comb set, you know, unwanted, no point, is there? So but there'll be these things that, you know, people have said, it looked better on the photo. It looked all right on the photo on Amazon. I don't like it now, it's come. Oh, it looked nicer in the shop. You know, women say that about it. Oh, a different colour in the shop. You know, don't they? Things like that. So there are unsuitable gifts. But this gift, you see, this gift that he offers is personal. It's for me. It's just what I need. And it's permanent. It lasts. You know, you get a present and then, you know, it wears out. It breaks. This is lasting. It's new every morning. You know, with the right near the end of the Wizard song that they play all the time at Christmas. I wish it could be Christmas every day. But actually, if you've received the gift, it is forever. It's not a gift that he gives and he wears out. Have we ever had a nice present? Have we had something called, oh, that's great, something you remember? What have you got to do with a gift? receive it. That's all, isn't it? It's not that hard, is it? It's not very difficult. You see people sometimes in the shop agonizing what to buy, but when you receive a gift, you don't have to agonize. It's very easy, isn't it? You just open it, unwrap it. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I remember my first Christmas, 1988, in my case, my first real Christmas, because I was working in a school, and they always had a Christmas carol service, and I never went because I was an atheist. I wasn't remotely interested. I'd never been. But now I was a Christian. And they were asking for volunteers from staff and pupils, whatever, to read. So I said, I'd like to read, please. I'd love to read. And the person who was organizing it was the headmaster, and he said, just read. I said, okay. But I noticed that these people before me stood up and they read the passage and they added this little bit. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And I thought, well, they're adding a bit. He's told me to just read, but that's not in what they got to read. And I just thought, well, I got a packed Anglican church in my stake. There's hundreds of people here. Governors, parents, pupils, staff. I thought, all I got to do is say, have you noticed that people are adding a little bit, saying, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Can I just ask you, have you received the gift? It's a simple question, isn't it? Have you, though? Have you received the gift? Have you received the gift? See, you have to receive it. To all who receives him, he gives the right to become children of God, born of the Spirit of the living God. You may remember Peter Ustinov, those of us who are old, on the radio 20 years ago. I remember it was just before Christmas. I was driving to a school to take an assembly or something, and he was being interviewed, and he said, oh, the trouble with the world, there's a lack of love in the world and all this kind of stuff. If we only loved each other, and it sounded brilliant, you know, but the radio presenter then paused and had the guts to say, well, Mr. Ustinov, you've spoken, you know, very eloquently about a lack of love in the world. How do we solve that problem then? No answer. No answer. We can't do it. We can't do it. It's not enough to try hard. You know, the Charles Dickens view that Jesus walked around patting people on the head, telling them, try harder. You know, we can't do it. We've tried. Dozens and dozens, centuries of do-gooders have tried. The old Puritan schoolgirl put it like this 350 years ago. It's an amazing way of thinking, I think. The Lord God Almighty had shown astonishing patience with people for century after century, pouring out blessing after blessing, but all to no avail. Humanity was still unchanged. So in the end, God gave himself. See, he'd given blessings, but in the end, he gave himself. That's what Christmas is about, isn't it? In 1982, a man called Pines in America was arrested and convicted of murder. He was imprisoned. And 8 years later, in prison, he was converted to Christ. 8 years later, he was taken to the electric chair to be executed. And these were his last words to all those present. Jesus is my Savior. I want him to be your Savior. Soon I will fall asleep and awake in his presence. Let me read that again. Jesus is my Savior. I want him to be your Savior. Soon I will fall asleep and awake in his presence. My favorite theologian died, you know, 8 or 9 days ago. He had said some weeks ago when somebody had said, because he'd been ill for the last few years, somebody had said, why don't you retire? He said, I will retire when they prize my cold, dead fingers off the Bible. I just think that is great. I'd love to know that would be me. Well, imagine now, I nearly finished. Imagine now that there's Ray. He's one of the Rohingyas. You know, they've been driven out of Myanmar, out of Burma, haven't they? Awful persecution. And dozens, thousands of them have just had to flee with nothing. And they on the border, and they in Bangladesh there, just waiting. Imagine, so here's Ray, he's a Rohingya there. Imagine you asked him, what would you really want now? more than anything else, what would be the best gift? He'd say, well, food and water for me and my kids and security, wouldn't he? That's what he'd want. And then, so that's Ray. Here's Kay. She's been having cancer treatment now for a year or so. And you ask her, what would be the best gift you could have? Or for somebody to sit me down and say, all clear. It's obvious what Ray wants. It's obvious what Kay wants. But on top of all that, they need the greatest gift, and so do you. The greatest gift of all. I read yesterday in Psalm 5 about God's hatred of liars, his hatred of the proud, the arrogant, how he will destroy them and so on. And I was just thinking, and here I am with my Bible in my hand, I'm reading that. He hates liars, that's me. He hates the proud, that's me. He hates the arrogant, that's me. How can I possibly have any chance of getting to heaven? And then the next verse goes on, by your great mercy. And that's it. That's the gift. It's awful simple to take, isn't it? Just take it. And if you've taken it, it's yours forever. You've got him forever. He's got you. I pray you have a great day. But make sure you've got the gift. Make sure you haven't checked it in the bin, even without opening it. Well, let's sing. O Come All Ye Faithful, we sing three verses.